Hello, friends. Welcome into the Eric Zane Show podcast, the daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures from right here in the Impact Power Sports Studio. Great food giveaway update. This is coming together and in a quick, outstanding way. I keep hearing more and more from audience members who pick up the ball and run with it. Again, I did not do this. This whole idea was started by audience member Denny Porter 6 years ago. EZ, why don't you do a food drive? And first I was like, nah. And then he kept bugging me and it came up again. And then when I was in LA after the kidney giveaway or the kidney donation, that's when the rubber really met the road. I think it was Amanda, actually, who was like, you should do it. We can pass the hat. That's right. And then next thing you know, we had great food giveaway number one. We were rolling. Now we're at great food giveaway number six. We are trying to set an all-time high of funding 225 Christmas dinners. I guess for the past week and a half, I've been saying we're giving them a Christmas turkey. That is not accurate. I've been corrected. It's a Christmas ham. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. 225 boxes of food, each containing the Christmas ham, the potatoes, the gravy, the rolls, the vegetables, the pie, all of the pet food supplies, thousands of pounds of pet food given away in drive-through setting. Not to mention, the tampons, the ladies' feminine hygiene products are being given away. A wide assortment. Hello, what type of feminine hygiene products would you like to get? All of that. That is how we roll on the great food giveaway. I'm stalling because Megan sent me the link for the wish list for the feminine hygiene products. Thank you so much. I'm going to link it up right now. I'm putting it in the chat along with the Venmo, Cash App, and PayPal. We got zero contributions for our hat passing over the weekend. I, believe it or not, I am not at all concerned because we're starting earlier than normal. We still have we have about a month and a half. And typically it takes us, we do it about 3-4 weeks ahead of time. So we're starting early. But so that's totally cool. I don't want you to think that I'm going, oh yeah, here we go. What a bunch of losers. It's so early. We're so fine with it. But just know that in a perfect world, we will have enough money to pay for all of the feminine hygiene products, which is a little over $4,000 for all of those. And I believe to fund all the food is going to be in the neighborhood of about $5,000. And so there you go. And with that being said, if we can pass the hat and get close to $10,000, we will be able to provide all of that. Any extra food left over gets donated to local pantries. Any extra feminine hygiene products gets donated to local women's shelters. There should not be a tax on feminine hygiene products. There should not be a tax on women's biological functions. You know, I think that's like more important than SNAP benefits, to have free feminine hygiene products. Some people might argue that. But I like to, during 'tis the season, to start off with great food giveaway. I don't like it to be like third or fourth thing that I talk about on a particular show. I like to get it. I like to strike while the iron is hot. Right out of the gate. Bread Bull Brain Chris says great kidney giveaway only works for so long. That's true. So you got the Amazon wish list there. You can order from there. You can also donate via the ways Basically, it always sounds like I'm grifting people because I'm like, yeah, give me the money. But yeah, you know, basically somebody's got to collect it. I collect all the cash and then we go to the Standale Meyer and we purchase all the food. Mike Ball, who is the local distributor, West Michigan area distributor of Little Debbie products, he has relationships with all of the area Meyer stores. So we go ahead and then they get all the logistics in order to get that much food pulled. That's not the easiest thing to do. And the reason why I'm bringing it up is because, again, all of this is not done by me. I'm not, again, this came up by someone else's suggestion and the prodding by the audience. I always would drag my feet or it just wouldn't get done. And then rather quickly, in grassroots style, we had the location, the venue where we were going to do it. We had the boxes to put all the food in, Mike Ball. We had all of the infrastructure to get the food. That was before the Jennison Meyer became the mutant Meyer. It is. I think the combined IQ of everyone who works at that Meyer is like 64. It's a complete disaster because, and I shouldn't say that because I actually know people who work there. But it's a good joke, so I'm sticking with it. Too bad. That's how jokes go. Anyway, some asshole fucked it all up last year, and we were left in the lurch. Thank God for the Standale Meyer. They came in and fixed it. So now we buy everything we need to buy at the Standale Meyer. The company of the volunteers that distribute the food, not to mention the Grand Rapids Pit Bull Alliance being there, which reminds me, I better change a date. Hey, Siri. Huh? Text Tanel.
What do you want to say to Tanel?
Hello, period. I don't know if I told you yet the date of the grade food giveaway, .. But if I did, comma, it is now on Tuesday, December 23rd, period. We had to make a little switch, period. Love and hugs, Eric.
Sending.
All right. Meanwhile, Amy reaches out to me. She says, EZ, and this is, again, audience empowering themselves. And, hey, Eric, can I help this way? Like I'm going to turn down the help, you know? About a better way to do things. Amy says, hey, Zahner. I was thinking about great food giveaway and how we could organize the cars better. I'm thinking we could somehow number them somehow, either with a piece of paper under the windshield wiper or write a number on the windshield with one of those eraser markers. Because then when we run back and forth to each car, if each car had a number, it would be easier to find rather than a description. Would you mind if I work with Megan or some kind of process to number the cars like that? And I'm like, oh, my God, yes. This sounds awesome. Thank you for the idea. I would love it very much if you would tell Megan. Perfect. I think I'm going to have my call center print shop make large numbered laminate cards, and I can place them under the windshield of each car ahead of time. I can. Yes. You see, that's how it works. Okay. Saturday night, we had a pinball party / tournament. Now, not every member of our group participated in the tournament, but that's okay. We had plenty. We had about 30 people in total strutting around pinball land in Rockford, Michigan. Early on, we met at the Rockford Corner Bar, and a couple of amazing things happened. Longtime audience members brought their significant others. It was like significant other day. It was date night. First things first. Rainbow Flag Jeremy was there with his husband, Rico. Now, that's like something that has happened before. That isn't at all a stretch because these two are just wonderful and everybody loves them. Now, last time I saw these two was at the Grand Rapids Pride Festival. It was like 8,000 degrees. So it was good to see them again. And Rico, I went in for the hug. And Rico's, he is an African-American man. And he did something that I didn't know was a thing. Do you remember, like, in that movie, Coming to America, the guy who put the soul glow in his hair? I'm reasonably positive that Rico put soul glow in his hair. Because I went in for the hug and it was like wet. It was super, I was like, all of his afro was like on my face, and my face came, and my face was shiny. I got tons of soul glow on my face. It was fantastic. I should probably call Rainbow Flag Jeremy and ask him about that, because it was hysterical. Now, I don't think anybody noticed. But because I wanted to save it for the show, you know, this. Okay, Rainbow Flag Jeremy. Now, he's probably working. Megan says Rico was sitting down. I saw it.
Good morning.
Hey, it's EZ. How are you? You're on the podcast.
Good morning. How you doing?
Sorry to bother you.
Okay, no problem.
I went in for the hug on Rico when I saw him there.
Yeah.
Does he wear some type of, like, soul glow?
Yes, he did, actually. I bought him some Vaseline. I think it's called Shimmer. It has, like, glitter in it and shit.
It was fantastic.
Oh, really?
I smelled all perfumey, and my face was, like, shiny.
Wait, you got some of his glow rubbed on you.
I couldn't help but think of that. Did you ever see that movie Coming to America with Eddie Murphy?
Yeah, a long time ago, yeah.
Yeah, that was, he had the soul glow going on.
Yes, he did.
All right. Yeah,
I just bought him that a couple weeks ago.
You did. Did you guys have a good time?
Yes, we will definitely do the next time.
Okay, yeah, that was a good group. We had a ball.
Yeah. There's a couple of ringers that showed up that couldn't be beat, but
yeah, that one guy, 7-0, unbelievable.
Yeah,
that was pretty.
That's okay. Rico had fun. He won a few, he lost a few, but that's okay because he hasn't played pinball in many ages, so that's kind of what we expected.
Well, so glad you were part of the group.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. If we could do it on a Saturday again, that'd be awesome because Rico works nights.
Okay, so I'll pass it along.
If it's on a Saturday, we will be there.
Tell him I love his soul glow.
I will tell him that right away. He's going to be happy to hear that.
Okay. I'll see you.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Yeah, my face looked like a glazed donut. It looked like a fresh layer of jizz. Megan says, I did actually see you run your fingers through his hair on accident. That wasn't an accident. I knew we had the glow going. You know, black people have a bit more of a process, excuse me, to make your hair look fantastic. But Rico was all about it. Stand by, I got to clear my throat. There's something in there. Feels terrible. All right. But not only that, Megan brought Brian, but Brian has kind of like been dipping in and out of hanging out with us, her husband, Brian. And then I've been working hard on the other audience members to bring their significant others. Jeremy Kay could not be there because he was working. Rebecca was there. But Stevie brought Rob. Green-haired Rob. Green hair or orange hair? I don't know. I forget. Anyway, he was there. Got to hang out with him. So I had some Pop-Tart factoids about making Pop-Tarts. I'm really interested in that process. All right, Derek was there, and he brought Julie. And let's see. Radio voice or murder lover Linda came from out of the woodwork and surprised everybody and brought this teeny tiny little pal of hers who's about the size of a garden gnome. Her name was Cindy, cute as a button. And I said she's as small as Diana, but she's actually smaller. Okay? Because Diana's 4'11". I think Cindy might have been 4'9". Let's see. Who else was there that I need to talk about? I need to talk about Becca Shea. She's right here. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Linda says Cindy or Sylvia. It's Sylvia? Oh, shit. And then Maureen says, I call her Simbi. Well, can someone please tell me your name? Because I was calling her Cindy. I asked her, I go, what's your name again? She said Cindy. Oh, I get it. You called her Sylvia. It is Cindy. All right, good. I'm glad I fixed that. Anyway, Becca Shea was there, and she brought Kevin. And the only time I'd met her husband, Kevin, was at a Grand Rapids Gold game, and we didn't talk at all. But this guy talks, man. He is a talker. And then I found out what he does for a living. He's a salesman. And right away, I'm like, oh, God, that makes total sense. You smash it, don't you? Sales records dropping all over the place. You ever get somebody like that who just has it, you know? They just, like, because typically when I go somewhere, I would take a back seat to someone like Kevin. Because he's going to do the heavy lifting. He was holding court. He was funny. He was flirty. And I could just sense that we were orbiting him. And in my mind, he's the guy who shows up and then it's his sandbox and we're playing in it. And I'm like, I love that. It's so no pressure. Dude was so cool. So it was totally significant other day. Also, Nick, the black belt Nick, he brought Mrs. Nick. Totally forget her name. Another little peanut, cute as a button. They brought their son, Sean, who had a ball. And who else am I forgetting? This is ridiculous. Amy brought Gary. And I was like, I cannot believe this. Gary is here too. So we had Nick's peanut wife. We had Gary. We had Kevin. We had Rob. Not to mention Rico, Julie, and Brian. So S.O.s. Rebecca says Derek and his wife. Yeah, I mentioned Derek and Julie. Nick says Mrs. Nick is Marty, M-A-R-T-I, like Marty McFly, but with an I. Spouses missing, Diana and Mrs. Ben, WTF. Exactly. Ben Glaze was there. He had a ball. Ben Glaze, you know how it is, man. I say to him, I go, hey, do you want to be in the pinball tournament? And this is Ben. Oh, I don't know. What do you have to do? I'm scared. I'm like, shut the fuck up. You're going to be in the pinball tournament. Eat a dick. What do you mean, what do you do? So we get into pinball land. All the names are in the tournament. All right. And then he announces your name and your game. So-and-so and so-and-so, you're on the Godzilla game. So-and-so, so-and-so, you're on the Rush game. Come back and tell me who won. And then based on the wins and losses, you work your way up the standings. There were a couple ringers there. Some guy who plays in the Wednesday night tournament league was 7-0. Cutie Patootie was there too, but without mommy and daddy. Amy says, yes, I forgot about that. So all of the regulars, I think the best part of this is when you're introducing people. Linda, murder lover Linda, who was a last minute entry, she said, I got to take pictures of this and send them to my sister who's been bragging about her stupid vacation so that she'll be jealous. Now, that is true sibling rivalry right there. Megan says, Ben is so quiet. I made him laugh with my balls joke. I felt good about that. Anytime you can make silly Ben Glaze laugh, it's a win. I love making Ben Glaze laugh because his laugh is so amazing. It was a flat-out adventure. A good time had by all. Thank you for going. We'll do it again ASAP. I shared some big news when I was at, because before we went to the pinball event, we went to the Rockford Corner Bar. And it was a great moment, by the way. If you get to the Rockford Corner Bar, you're going to witness a brand new guy named Scott. I know his name is Scott because he introduced himself to me. And he's from Massachusetts. So he has a thick Boston accent. And I'm wearing a Maine Black Bears hoodie on Saturday. And he asks me in his best Boston accent if I'm from Maine. I said, no, I visited. And he says, you love Bahaba? And I'm like, yeah, sure. He didn't sound like a Mainer. He sounded like he's from Massachusetts. If you're a Mainer, you're saying Bahaba. I guess you would too in Massachusetts, but it's definitely a different accent between Boston. Hell, Boston itself has different accents throughout the city, depending on where you live in the area. The dude at the Rockford Corner Bar, oh, I forgot, Patrick Doyle was there, along with his pal Eric, who I think may have smoked about 80 joints, because every time I stood next to him, I thought I was going to get stoned. It was hysterical. Anyway, Doyle reaches out to me. And when I was at the table, he was at the bar. And he goes, you got to meet this guy at the bar, this guy from Boston. And I go, oh, I already did. He's a talker. And that's the guy you want behind the bar. If I own the Rockford Corner Bar, because this guy just showed up in Michigan 3 weeks ago. And if this guy shows up to apply, you're like, yeah, sure. I would pay you this much, but I'm giving you $5 more an hour because of your accent. There's value to that here. People love talking to people with different accents. Now, Michigan has its own accent. It's not pleasant at all. I don't speak it because I speak perfectly, but Michigan is not a, like, if you are in Boston and someone speaks Michigan and shows up there all nasally, they're gonna beat your ass. If Massachusetts guy shows up in Michigan, he's a commodity. That was the guy. If you go to the Rockford Corner Bar and you see a big burly guy with a big mustache, probably about 25-26 years old, really outgoing. That's Scott, the bartender. He's absolutely awesome. Sees my hoodie, starts conversation, introduces himself. I go, well, what brings you to Michigan? And it's his girlfriend. And some whatever reason, they wind up here. I think she might have been from here or something like that. And they met out there. I go, You've been in Michigan, huh? Just 3 weeks. He goes, yeah. I go, you already got the gig. He goes, I don't fuck around. I got the car. I got the registration. I got the insurance. I got the place to live. I don't fuck around. I go, you're going to kill it here. Because everybody in Michigan moves on MPT. He goes, what's MPT? I said, that's Michigan people time. Michigan people time is not the same as East Coast time. I've lived on the East Coast. It's much faster. You move to Michigan, everybody gears down a second. You will dominate here, whatever it is you do. Skip says, I went to the corner bar years ago and you could get your name on the wall if you ate 12 chili dogs. I only made it to 10 and a half. Nick says, when I moved back from Alabama, people were in love with the Southern accent. Ben Glaze is here. He says, I said something that almost got me in trouble at the corner bar. I will have to tell that on the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast, which I have not yet scheduled. I should probably do so. Okay. 12th is difficult. The 13th is difficult. And the 14th is difficult. And the 15th is difficult. Okay. Boy, I got hockey 12, 13, 14, 15. I got hockey and basketball 5 and 5 days. Shit. All right. I have to think about that. Ben Glaze says, tomorrow? I got book club. So, book club tomorrow. And the hockey game Wednesday is a day game. In theory, we can get it done on Wednesday. Let's plan on Wednesday. Big Fraud Wednesday it is. The more busy I am, the better. Beck Shea says, I thought we were starting a documentary club. Yeah, we sure as hell did. And, honestly, I think it's just a matter of too many things going on at one time. Not that that's a bad thing, but I have not lifted one finger. In fact, the last time we talked about it, the only thing that I have watched on any form of viewing are TikTok videos. Hello, friends. Your old pal Eric Zane with a word about ultra premium CBD gummies with real botanicals from my friends over at Secret Nature. This is like the best thing that's happened to me in a long time. I partnered with them. You can learn more at secretnature.com/Zane, and you'll also get a special deal there. But my gosh, during the daytime, I've got a daytime gummy that helps me stay focused, gives me steady lift. It's a fantastic, clean vibe within my system. Prior to Secret Nature, I found during the day that I was up and down, and I was like, what is happening to me? But ever since I started using the ultra premium CBD gummies with real botanicals from Secret Nature, those problems are in the past. And people say to me, EZ, when you're talking about this, what do you mean by a clean feeling? I'd say steady, balanced, not overpowering. I just get more done and feel better throughout the day. Probably because Secret Nature is organic, farm-grown, never lab-made. Ultra-premium CBD gummies with real botanicals. Nothing extra. The best in the business. Bliss is what I use during the day for clear focus and productive flow. I want to wind down? Snoozers. Unwind and rest at the end of the day. Consistent, measured CBD per gummy, so there's no guessing. Intentional formulations that feel clean and slot naturally into your routine. Now, this is where you try it. Get 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with code Zane. That's secretnature.com, code Zane. Try Bliss during the day, snoozers in the evening, and let me know how it goes. Again, 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with code Zane. secretnature.com, code Zane. Secret Nature. Hey, folks, it's EZ for my friends at Uncommon Goods. The holiday season is here, so start your shopping here. Go to uncommongoods.com. Click where it says Christmas shopping. You've got gifts for her, for him, for the grandparents, for the kids, for the teens, for your friends. Oh my gosh, artisan, handcrafted, amazing gifts for you and yours. Truly, everything that is cool is found at Uncommon Goods. You can get lost on the website with the amount of products that are there. Uncommon Goods partners with some of the most creative people on the planet and puts all of their offerings on one spot for you to shop in the convenience of your home. I love Uncommon Goods, and you will too. And don't forget that when you shop at uncommongoods.com, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses, and many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches. So shop now before they sell out this holiday season. And with every purchase that you make at Uncommon Goods, They give a buck back to a nonprofit partner of your choice. Wow. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. Don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Zane. That's uncommongoods.com/Zane for 15% off. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers. But that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding Ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
These are all great ideas. Big Fraud Movie Review Club. I can't say that's a bad idea at all. But now it gets down to time. How much time do I have? By the way, Patrick Doyle's pal Eric, who smelled like he consumed, like he was actually breathing more cannabis, exhaling than he was CO2. There was so much cannabis stench coming off of this guy. And there was a young lady there named Rebecca, who I didn't know, who was participating in our pinball tournament, because I think there were some people that were there at Pinball Land, and Ryan from Pinball Land recruited people to participate. So this young lady was there, and I think Megan made friends with her like right away. Those two hit it off. They look like they're in the same age range, and they just seem super fun together. Well, Doyle's friend Stinky Eric, I think he might have thought she was a cutie, because I was playing her in pinball, and I could just feel the energy that he was like hoping to maybe get her phone number at some point. And I she might be into guys who smell like used cannabis and beer. Nice guy, but stoned to the bone. There's no way he remembers anything. Does cannabis make you forget? You know how like you get blackout drunk? My God, was this guy stoned? I was getting stoned standing next to him while she was playing pinball. Megan says, I super liked Rebecca. She was one of the winners. Did you guys like exchange information? Megan says, honestly, weed was a better option than beer. He didn't have to leave and miss his turn like some of us. Yeah, Megan's husband, Brian, he like vanished to go across the street to get drinks. And he, in the middle of the tournament. And so whoever he was playing, he had to forfeit. All right. Good time had by all. Cannot wait to do it again. While I was there, though, I did share some new information. Becca Shea heard it. Kevin heard it. But he doesn't know the history, the rich history. Well, I kind of got him up to speed. But Amy definitely knows this, too. We started to talk about the fraud bus. And the big news is next year, when we're going to get it out of storage, and we're bringing I'm taking the fraud bus off the market. It is no longer for sale. I knew I would do this. I knew eventually I would change my mind about selling the fraud bus, because it has been enough time has passed before since something terrible has happened with the fraud bus, that now I've convinced myself that it's going to work out. Now, when I was telling her this, she immediately started to giggle and get excited, because she was like, yes, yes, because she knows it's going to be horrible. And what that means for you as a listening / viewing audience is ridiculous stories from the road. Wheels falling off, motor catching on fire, whatever. The whole thing just falling apart. I don't know. Skip says, don't romanticize the past, EZ. You're going to regret it. Well, okay, believe me, I'm not. I'm not romanticizing anything. All I'm doing is realizing that I'm screwed either way. First of all, it's just sitting there. And I'm annoyed at that. And if someone does call, that puts the final nail in the coffin and adds to the total that I am out. Dollar amount. Tofus adds, I cannot wait to hear about how the roof is going to fly off, probably. You talk bad about the fraud bus. Of course, no one wants to buy it. Hold on a minute. People have brought that logic up to me. You do understand, dummy, that there's 40 people watching right now. And during a given week, 10,000 people, 10,000 downloads does not mean everybody knows about the fraud bus. I post it on RV Trader and various places like that. It's not like someone's going to look at it and go, oh, that's that one that belongs to Eric Zane, the podcaster. Nobody knows who the fuck I am. So that's a dumb thing to say. All right. So the fraud bus is totally back. In fact, there was a moment because over the weekend, I went over to the place that I store it at. And they actually got it out for me so that I could winterize it. And when I'm doing that, I noticed that on the inside, it was quite dirty. Now, I paid for them to clean the thing. So right away, I'm like, well, that's not good. If they ever did show this to anybody, it's, you know, that's not good to have it dirty like this. So I was annoyed with that, but then I'm like, well, it doesn't matter. I'm going to take it off the market anyway. But I should probably tell them about this. So while I'm wrapping up there on their property, the guy who owns the joint, he's there. And this is a mom-and-pop place, but it's quite an operation. They have thousands of square feet of space to store. And they're great. They're really great. And so I go, hey, so-and-so, how are you? Hey, man, you know, I'm thinking about taking it off the market. Oh, okay. But I just want to let you know, and I explained to him that it wasn't clean on the inside. And he, like, looks like this, and he goes, you told me not to clean it. And I go, I did? Yep. And I go, I'm not even going to argue with you. Because this happens to me probably 10 times a week. I'm embarrassed I even brought it up. I trust you more than I trust me. And this is yet another example of me just forgetting what the hell is actually going on. And he just laughed it off. Bob says, did they charge you for the cleaning? No. I remember now. At the time, I didn't. At the time, I was like, you didn't clean it. Now, when I say clean it, I mean, it's clean. I remember what I did. I went, hey, no, I don't want to pay for the whole cleaning. You just clean the outside. I'll clean the inside. So what I'm getting at here is I did a shitty job of cleaning the inside and then thought that they fucked it up. Bread Bull Brain Chris says, and you call me Bread Bull Brain. No, I don't call you Bread Bull Brain because you're forgetful. I call you Bread Bull Brain because the top of your brain actually looks like a bread bull. All right? It has nothing to do with, I don't think you forget things. I always turn to you for wisdom and important facts that I need to know about. Typical of me, though. When I woke up this morning, sounds like the Sopranos theme. It was super cold here. We got snow the last 2 days here. And in fact, I was doing the Q100 show, and the community, one of the communities in and around the radio station, it was 7 degrees this morning. I'm like, what? This is the 50th anniversary also of the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Uh-oh. I'm thinking that we may have... All right, for a second there, I think that for a second there, it looked like the feed dropped out. It said it right in front of me. I caught it. It went reconnecting. Countdown until audience members start commenting. It was very, very quick. But I think we're back. So that damn freighter went down 50 years ago today. I think it went down at like 7 p.m. The Edmund Fitzgerald. So that's kind of like a big deal for people around here in Michigan. That big-ass boat went down. 29 people died. Still at the bottom of Lake Michigan. That's one thing. They never want to disturb, you know, the final resting place. I think that's against some type of, like, you know, etiquette. I don't know. Would you want them to actually raise the boat and then give you the remains of the loved ones that are there? It took them a while to find the thing, like many, many years before they actually found the damn thing. Just like that boat over, what's the USS, what's the one that sank in Pearl Harbor and it's still there? The Arizona, the USS Arizona. And there's like a memorial over the wreckage. It was in the harbor when it was sunk. And there's still, like, all the remains are in the boat of the sailors that are there. And you know what else? I want to see this. I want to go and check this memorial out. I love things like this. When you're in that memorial, looking down at the boat, you can see oil coming up from the wreckage. And it's still... petroleum products that are seeping out from, you know, 85 years ago, or however many years ago that was. 80 years ago. 85? Somewhere around there. So folks are doing a lot of tributes for the Edmund Fitzgerald. I did one on the radio today by playing the band Headstones out of Kingston, Ontario. Great song. They cover Gordon Lightfoot's Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. If you are a fan, listen to that one. Listen to Billy Strings doing Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald and Gordon Lightfoot himself doing the song. Luke says the memorial is closed now, I believe. The last member of the ship was put into it. I'm not sure what you mean there. Murder Lover Linda says, we went to Pearl Harbor 6 years ago, but they were working on the viewing platform, so we just drove by in a boat. Kuipers says Pearl Harbor is a great visit. I want to share with you something that I talked about in my preview, my announcement that this show is going live. I heard from Alan. I'm sorry. Hang on a second. Who did I hear from? Yeah, Alan in Wisconsin, who wrote, EZ, you have to go to the Segment 18 FBHW fan page and look at what that dumb fuck Mikey put up. Their own fans are turning on them. I think you mean turning on him. All right. Now, this guy has gotten quite a lot of attention over the years. He's this old, strange-looking, looks like some kind of strung-out twat. And he dyes his hair multiple colors. And he looks incredibly poor and lonely and ugly. And weird. Just a fucking weirdo. Bob said, is he that blue-haired minger? Bread Bull Brain Chris says, oh, I meant to send this to you. This dude is a nutball. I hadn't seen it because this tool blocks me. Like, whenever I go over to that page and I say something, he gets, like, all hurt. And he blocked my... Eric Zane Show fan page, and he blocked my personal page, but I have my Insane Asylum page, so I was able to look at it because I didn't see it, but Alan said, you got to check this out. Bob says, I mentioned him last week. His posts seem rather concerning. Yeah, I don't know what to make of this. But this is the guy that several audience members of this show have said he seems like the type of guy who one day will be wearing their skin. This looks like him with, looks like Steve and Hot Wings with weird looks on their faces and him. This is the guy right here. He loves these bracelets, loves the colors, loves the hair. Okay. And I guess he did this one time, and I'm not sure what happened to that post, because this time Mikey writes, and he if you look at like his avatar for Facebook, it says, I am Antifa. I am against fascism, just like most Americans. We literally fought a world war over this. So, all right, it gives you a little bit of background. He is Antifa. I really couldn't tell you anything about Antifa. But he writes in this post... I'm going to try this again. If you are at a show, I'm assuming he means an upcoming Free Beer and Hot Wings live show, and you need a friend, please come find myself or one of the, it looks like it says, band idiots. You know, it's the usual, whatever, it's a group of people. And you will be safe. And you will have a group of friends. Please, no hate, just love. So with, and you will be safe, is he implying that if you go to a Free Beer and Hot Wings show event, that there's a chance you won't be? Because I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true at all. I would think that no matter where you are, at the venue, you would be safe. To imply anything but is stupid. I think that this is part of that whole... I mean, I've been talking a lot about virtue signaling with what Freebeer did for his feeding the poor people on Halloween with ramen noodles. This might be a way to virtue signal. You know, our group is safe. You can come and hang out with our group. So... based on what Alan wrote, he said that people are turning on this wacko. Alan says, imagine if he met the Zaniacs. Skip said, I sent a message about hair being a red flag and mods are checking it and won't send. What? Bob says he's a member of a terrorist organization. Alan says he is absolutely insane. Red Bull Brain Chris says if there is a cause, he's fighting for it. David says he looks like a Fruit Loop. Bob says repost the same thing over and over. One of their show members, looks like this Kevin guy, says, who goes to a comedy show and needs a safe place? This post is satire, right? Now, that's all you need to get them going. So Mikey here, he picks a fight with this guy. And there are many, many other people that are like this Mikey guy. You know, I've said before, this the audience has a large concentration of the lonely, the LARPers, not very clean, not working, very entitled type of blend of people. Morbid obesity is a problem, poverty, substance abuse with a lot of these people. And I guess then, though, somebody started photoshopping Mikey with, that's awesome, that's funny, him with the Teletubbies. And then he got pissed off at some point. And he wrote, please stop photoshopping me. Please stop photoshopping me in photos that I haven't agreed to. Yeah, that's going to get him to stop. That's really going to get him to stop. Again, if you're at the show, find me or a Banda Idiot member if you are alone or if you don't feel safe. What a fucking square. But I, you know, with, again, the way it is with this group, you're going to get a mix of people that are a lot like this idiot. My God. Tophus says, look at that fucker. That mustache equals sexual predator, allegedly. Our group is unarmed and won't fight back. Safe. Red Bull Brain Chris says that that was the best part. David in Hudsonville says he can be asshole today. Doc Brown going through a late life crisis. Mikey's a fucking idiot. All right. You see, this is what I'm talking about. Weirdos like this gravitate to that fucking show. It's misfits. They are misfits. The audience has a high, high concentration of misfits. And they're leaving. The audience members that aren't like that are leaving that show. All right? All we need now is some strong ratings decline to really drive that point home. Bob says, what grown adult goes by the name Mikey? Bread Bull Brain Chris says he started threatening to sue for using his picture without his permission. By the way, I just reminded myself, I don't know if I sent along the Venmo information for Great Food Giveaway. I just added it in case you're wondering. All right. On this Monday edition of the show, of course, there are sponsors that help make the world go round. And I break the show up in two parts today because I've got the workplace staff meeting for Q100 coming up. Just moments away, actually. In fact, I'm going to get after this and thank a sponsor or two. And then I'll end up cutting it off and coming back shortly after the completion of the big staff meeting. But thank you, as always, to Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid and EV. Love you so much. 616-532-6600. Great place to get your vehicle repaired. ERVines.com. That's ERVines.com. Free loaner cars. Top-notch care. Not some grease monkey changing the brakes in the back, dealing with you and serving you when you walk in off the street. No. Their employees are clean. ERVines.com, 616-532-6600, trusted place to get your vehicle repaired. Impact Power Sports. Get yourself a Yamaha golf cart at Impact. You can also get side-by-sides, ATVs, UTVs, motorcycles, e-bikes, scooters, go-karts. They have it all at Impact Power Sports. Online at ImpactPowerSportsMI.com. They're in Rockford, Michigan. Outstanding selection of all these great products, plus top-of-the-line service department to help you with any of your fun stuff that you need repaired. Impact Power Sports in Rockford, Michigan. Bread Bull Brain Chris says, I'll be calling Irvine's today. Skip's here. He says, you know, I was a misfit, and I realized it, so I quit FBHW and came here. I appreciate you, Skip. Bob says, I'm going to get a haircut during the staff meeting so I don't start looking like Mikey. Fucking ghoul. All right. By the way, I got a note from Adam Balboa, who, biggest Rocky Sylvester Stallone fan on the planet. He writes to me that over the weekend, the 40th anniversary of Rocky IV hit, and it was back in theaters. And he went to see the film with his son. And I guess he actually walked away. You know, he's in the theater. He collects everything. He's got like a whole wing of his house dedicated to Rocky stuff. We got the theater display, he says. Then he writes, your RFK impression is my favorite new thing. Did it once. Well, I actually have done it more than once, but the most recent one was the best. The one where the guy passed out in the White House when they were talking about the reduction in the prices of prescription drugs. And the idea that RFK made the 911 call while the guy passed out, the other guy passed out. That's what he loved. It will probably make an appearance at a right time later on. Bread Bull Brain Chris adds in closing here, I actually watched the film Samaritan. It's actually a lot better than I thought it would be. Well, yeah, I mean, because you've set yourself up for it to be the worst movie ever. And then it's still a quality actor in Sylvester Stallone. And I don't know if he wrote the film. And he might not have had anything to do with the writing, with the plot point of when his strength is running low, if he gets a couple spoonfuls of ice cream, he's strong again, which is a plot point of the film. Hey, yo, give me some ice cream, yo. My God. All right, I'll talk to you later. Staff meeting time. See ya.